I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
We've been talking a lot about the red wave that didn't happen in the midterms. A lot of finger pointing at former President Donald Trump. And I've got good news. We're not going to talk about him right now. At least I don't think we are. Instead, here's what we're going to discuss. How did religion, or did it, play a role in the way people voted?
I think a lot of people are looking at and trying to process the results, what we expected to happen. Did Democrats hold on because of this focus on abortion because the Dobbs case came out? The Supreme Court reversed Roe versus Wade. Was it that? I mean, religion oftentimes is tied to the abortion argument. Did this make an impact that left the Republicans with, I guess, less power, or that they'd made less of a splash?
Let's bring Ryan Burge. He's the – is it Berg or Burge?
Burge.
Hi, Professor, Assistant Professor.
Hi.
At Political Science at Eastern Illinois University. You're also a pastor at American Baptist Church, and you've written a book, 20 Myths About Religion and Politics in America. Who better to talk to about this? So, do you feel like religion ended up impacting the results of the midterms, or how people voted?
Oh, religion always matters, and especially it mattered this time because, you know, the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe versus Wade, you know, usually when it comes to public opinion stuff, the American public has a very short attention span. We forget things very quickly. Like, remember when Biden pulled us out of Afghanistan and all the Republicans say, well, that's going to be the end for Biden, and no one's spoken about Afghanistan for the last year or so. Abortion, for some reason, hung around, though. It impacted people's lives, especially young people, especially women, and it took away rights they already had. And so it kind of stayed in the public consciousness, and it's really continued to drive this wedge. I call it the God gap. You know, the Democratic Party's become the party of secular people, especially white secular people, and the Republican Party's become the party of religious people. And that gap is getting wider and wider, and the Dobbs decision actually, you know, kind of drove that gap even larger than it was before.
Well, and as we look at the numbers, and I know you're a big data analysis guy, with that move away from religion really nationwide, as we see people kind of leaving conventional religions, what does that mean politically?
Oh, it creates a really interesting future for American politics. So about 50% of America are white and Christian, but it's 75% of the Republican Party. So, you know, to be a Republican now is basically hitting the same note over and over again, which is, you know, white people are great, Christianity's great, let's go. The problem with that, though, is the share of Americans who are white and Christian is declining rapidly now. The share of white people is going down. The share of Christians are going down. Now, the Democrats have a different problem. The Democrats are trying to hold together this very loose coalition of a lot of secular people, so non-religious, atheist, agnostic type people. But also they have black Protestants who are incredibly religious and Latino Catholics and even white conservative Catholics. So, you know, how do you keep the nuns, the secular people, happy, but also keeping, you know, black Protestants and Latino Catholics happy at the same time? So there's a different problem. It's can we keep all these groups happy? For the Republicans is how can we continue to win when our demographics are getting smaller and smaller every election cycle?
So how do they deal with this in the next election cycle? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the Republican Party has to figure out how to appeal to younger non-religious voters, which is something they haven't been able to do at all so far because they continue to lean on, you know, evangelicals and conservative Catholics. And, you know, that's great for now, but you can't win nationwide races doing that. So I'm wondering if there's a future where the Republican Party becomes a place for like libertarian atheists and agnostics. And they're out there. A lot of them are in Silicon Valley. They don't believe in God. They also don't believe in a lot of government either. Can they win those people over? The Democrats have to figure out what issues they can tiptoe around and not really address that will kind of pull their coalition apart and what issues that the Democrats kind of agree on. And I think Biden's done a pretty reasonable job of doing that so far. But the next generation is going to have a harder and harder time because a lot of nuns, a lot of atheist agnostics are incredibly politically active and they want to see their policies enacted. But that's not easy when you got to keep your black Protestants, your Latino Catholics happy at the same time.
Just to clarify, when you say the nuns, we're not talking about N-U-N, Catholic nun. We're talking about N-O-N-E, right?
That's right. My first book was called The Nuns, Where They Came From, Who They Are, and Where They're Going. The nuns were 5% of America in 1972. They're 30% of America today. Amongst Generation Z, they're 45% of America. They're the fastest growing religious group in America right now.
Abortion for so long was such a motivating factor for both Republicans and Democrats. You talked about some of the things that Democrats have to tiptoe around. What's that next cause if abortion is, I can't say it's been settled, but maybe if that's been put on the back burner a little bit?
Yeah, so I think there was this bill that was kind of banging around before Biden got in office called the Equality Act. And basically what it says is that no organization in America can discriminate in employment against anyone based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. And that sounds really good, but if you're a religious person, that says to a Catholic church, if you have a teacher in your Catholic school who comes out as, let's say, lesbian or gay, you can't fire them for that, even though their lifestyle is in direct opposition to your religious doctrine. The government would basically say you cannot fire that person. Religious people don't like that. They want religion to have supremacy, especially in the religious sphere. Now, atheist agnostics don't like that at all because they don't think religion should hold a privileged place in American society. So I think fights over discrimination and equality when it comes to LGBTQ issues is really the next frontier when it comes to the culture wars.
Well, I going back to your point about the younger generation, I mean, they, Republicans, Democrats, they both have to keep their eye on that because they are the next generation of leaders. And if they don't get their arms around them in terms of support for either party, no matter which party it is, I mean, independent party, you name it, Green Party, whatever it is, that's going to be a losing battle for them.
When you see it too right now, I mean, you're seeing even a majority of young evangelicals now are in favor of same-sex marriage, which, you know, wasn't true for the last 50 years. And, you know, the Senate voted a procedural vote on a bill to basically codify the Obergefell decision, which made same-sex marriage legal in all 50 states. I think that's an issue the Republican Party's quickly figured out. That's a loser for them politically to continue to fight against, same-sex marriage. So now they're going in favor of trying to win over the younger generation. The question is, are churches going to change their position on that? I mean, Southern Baptist, the Catholic Church, both opposed to, and the Mormons are opposed to same-sex marriage. The government allows it, and almost everybody in society is in favor of it. When are churches going to figure out that they're, you know, living in the dark ages when it comes to those issues and change their positions?
So as we talk about these younger generations coming in, starting to make impact, again, typically you don't see a huge wave of, you know, young 20-year-olds making splashes in politics, but as this generation starts getting a little older and a little more savvy when it comes to politics, what does that mean for Joe Biden? Because he is a devout Catholic, he's been very religious, but what does that mean for President Biden?
I think the President Bidens of the world are going to be, you know, relegated to the history books. The future of American politics, we're going to see in the future where someone gets elected to an office, maybe Senate, House of Representatives, who are an avowed atheist. And I think we're not too far away from a situation where we could have a nun in the White House, an O-N-E in the White House, who probably is not particularly religious or particularly, you know, vocal about religious issues because, you know, they're going to reflect the population. And when almost half of young people are nuns, they want to vote for someone who thinks like them, looks like them, talks like them, and believes like them. And so, you know, politics changes slowly. But we're seeing a change in the guard right now. Biden steps down. Nancy Pelosi steps down. We're seeing a younger generation pick up. And when you see that younger generation, and I actually spoke to the Congressional Freethought Caucus, which is a caucus of Democrats who want to try to reach out to non-religious voters in America. So they're paying attention to this, and they really want to reach out to the nuns going forward.
Ryan Birch, thank you so much for joining us. An assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University. A fascinating conversation about religion and the impacts that these kind of voters had on the midterms.
Also wrote a book, 20 Myths About Religion and Politics in America. He's a pastor at American Baptist Church as well, an atheist in the White House. I remember reading when America was having a heartburn over electing the first Catholic president.
Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy. That's his prediction. My, how times have changed. Straight ahead, speaking of politics, Daver and I are going to dive her into the conversationer about what not to say at Thanksgiving dinner. And Dave, I know you're going to hate this, but one of them is politics.
Stop it.
You can't talk about politics.
I came loaded.
There's a huge list of things you should not talk about at Thanksgiving dinner. Talk about at Thanksgiving dinner. Politics. We're going to have a discussion about that next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.